It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 99 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray, and I just got off a great, fun-filled weekend of X-Wing. Got to head out west to the Salt Lake City Regional, which was a very well-run tournament, and a lot of fun to play at.
Yeah, and you did pretty well there, making it into that top eight cut, and you got to meet a lot of really cool people, play some great games of X-Wing. So today I think it'd be good. We can talk a little bit about your experience at the Salt Lake City Regional.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's a lot of regionals going on, so we should probably cover regionals generally as well.
Well, let's get to it. So the Salt Lake City Regional took place at Demolition Games. They hosted 57 players with six rounds of Swiss, leading to a cut to the top eight. We saw about 10 store championship buys being used at this event. And then we ended with a winner here. Jonathan Grasser ended up taking the entire event.
Yeah, I want to start off with giving a shout out to Caleb Flanagan and the rest of the Demolition Games crew. They ran a very efficient tournament, getting everything done in just one day. It's quite ambitious, but we got a nice early start and they made sure rounds moved very quickly. We even took a nice long break for lunch and were able to wrap it up by the end of the day. So that's no easy feat, and I think they did a very good job having lots of nice raffle prizes for everyone. I thought everyone seemed like they're having a really good time there.
Yeah, so thanks to those guys. If any of you guys are in the Salt Lake City area, please be sure to check out Demolition Games. All right, so Carson, let's start off, before we dive too far into the conversation here about the Salt Lake City Regional, why don't we start off by what list you brought to this event?
Yeah, so I played a lot of practice games against the bomb-launching Captain Nim with Trajectory Simulator the week leading up to the event, and decided, you know what, that is just too tough for me to beat. I should probably include Captain Nim in my list. I chose not to go with the traditional pairing of Miranda Donnie with Captain Nim. Instead chose to take the Scum variant and pair it with Asajj Ventress. So I flew Captain Nim with Veteran Instincts, Twin Laser Turret, Extra Munitions, Harpoon Missiles, everyone's new missile of choice, and then for bombs, I had Thermal Detonators and Ion Bombs, plus the Havoc title, allowing me to take Genius and Trajectory Simulator, as well as Guidance Chips on Nim.
We're going to be talking a lot about Trajectory Simulator today, so I'm just going to read that card text for us just so we're all on the same page here. This is a new upgrade card that appears in the Resistance Bomber expansion that was released last December. Trajectory Simulator is a one-point system slot upgrade card that reads, you may launch bombs using the five-straight template instead of dropping them. You cannot launch bombs with the action header in this way. This is a card that's been very important if you've been tracking any of the regionals happening recently. We've been seeing a lot of Captain Nims with Trajectory Simulator included in those lists, throwing out a variety of different bombs, and it's proven to be a very effective strategy.
Yeah, it's really good. It's extremely difficult to avoid those bombs when they're being launched, especially on that opening exchange, which we've discussed so much on the podcast, is just so critical to winning a game of X-Wing, is having a favorable initial exchange. And launching those bombs forward just adds some free damage to that exchange.
Well, and I think part of what makes Trajectory Simulator so effective, it's really powerful having the ability to throw bombs forward, but it also pairs very well with the Genius Salvaged Astromech card, which you can include on your Havoc title, Captain Nim. Genius, of course, allows you to, when you're going to drop bombs that are dropped when you reveal your dial, you can instead drop those bombs after you perform the maneuver. Since the language on Trajectory Simulator allows you to launch bombs instead of dropping them, you can actually launch those bombs with that five forward template after you perform your maneuver, giving you a lot of options there and a lot of coverage to where you can end up placing those bombs.
Right, so that Nim is pretty devastating, very scary to be up against, and I paired that with a bit more of a resilient ship in Asajj Ventress with Lone Wolf, Lats Razi Crew, Glitter Stim, another Glitter Stim, and Countermeasures. So very survivable Asajj, got that countermeasures to drop target locks to prevent those harpoon missiles that were everywhere. And then what I liked about having Asajj in there was she adds another control element, and those thermal detonators and ion bombs are also pretty powerful control elements. And so this list, while presenting a lot of aggressive damage from Captain Nim and having the resiliency from Asajj, was pretty good at just disrupting my opponent's plan.
And you ended up doing pretty well in Swiss. You ended up going 5-1, including that buy you got from store championships. Your first loss, though, you took in round three, right?
Yeah, I was playing against a Salt Lake City local, Scott Hepler, who was flying Miranda Donny and Captain Nim. The same Captain Nim that I had, except he had long-range scanners instead of guidance chips. And of course,
it's the Rebel variant.
Yeah, I guess that's different. And then he had Miranda Donny with twin laser turret, extra munitions, harpoon missiles, Sabine Wren, bomblet generator, cluster mines, and long-range scanners again. And that came in at 99 points. So I had a bid, particularly to outbid other Captain Nims, which meant I got to control initiative, which is pretty important in this matchup because you want to make sure you're setting up those right cruise missiles. And it's a lot easier to launch those bombs after your opponent's moved so you can see exactly where they're going to be. Still wasn't quite enough advantage, but it was a very close game.
Well, and having that control of initiative is really important for you because you do have guidance chips on your Captain Nim compared to something like a long-range scanners, where long-range scanners is going to enable you to get that target lock early. You're going to telegraph yourself a little bit, but guidance chips requires that you're going to get that target lock later, so you want to make sure you're within range to get the target lock, which means you benefit from moving second.
Right, and so it allows me to be a little bit more reactive and take that harpoon missile shot on whoever I have landing in my firing arc. But for Scott's list, I like having the long-range scanners because he doesn't have as strong of a bid. It means he's going to be moving first against a lot of other opposing Captain Nims. And taking those long-range scanners and just rolling up, launching the bomb, anticipating their maneuver, and taking those focus actions means you're probably going to end up with a favorable exchange if you guess right. Luckily, in this match, I was able to do a little bit of barrel rolling and break up his initial engagement a little bit. I was able to deal some control effects myself. We definitely had a few turns where everyone's ionized, nobody sets dials, which is pretty silly to have every ship on the table be ionized. But that tends to work out a bit in Scott's favor because he has Sabine Wren. And so as we're just throwing bombs at each other, his bombs are hitting harder than the scum's bombs are.
Yeah, Sabine Wren's ability to deal that extra damage when you remove a friendly bomb token is super powerful here and kind of tends the damage in his favor with bombs.
Right. If I could put Sabine on Asajj, I would.
So how did this game end up playing out for you? What were the first major turning points?
Yeah, so for all my work in a good open exchange, I still traded Captain Nims. One of them died, and that triggered the harpoon condition, killing the other Captain Nim, which is just good fun. But so then I had a pretty damaged Asajj well into hole versus a half-health Miranda. And then I got dealt a very fun critical result to have when you have three stress already on your ship. And that is console fire, which you need an action to get rid of the damage it deals each potential turn. And I probably wasn't getting any more actions. When I had two stress, I then went down to one hole. And I made the choice to try and end the game before the console fire killed me and hopefully get Miranda down. Instead of disengaging and clearing the stress and trying to clear the console fire. The game did go on for about four turns after that, so I maybe could have disengaged and cleared the console fire and gotten Miranda.
But it was a calculated risk for you, right? Like, you could have had an opportunity there to close it out pretty quickly, so you took your chance on that rather than trying to play the long game.
Right. I brought her down to probably one shot away from finishing her, and then the console fire caught up to me. Very good game. Scott flew it very well. And was my one loss in Swiss.
You played some other great games there, too. You won out in a game against a Lothal, Wes Jansen, Zebarelios list in round four, right?
Yeah, that list was really cool. So that showed off the power of combining the Maul crew with the Ezra Bridger crew card. Yeah, on a Ghost with a twin laser turret, you're getting those two shots initially and then two more twin laser turret shots at the end of combat. So you're getting a lot of value off the modifications that Maul and Ezra provide together.
Yeah, this list was flown by Mav Pechette, and he was flying a Lothal Rebel with Sensor Jammer, Twin Laser Turret, Ezra Bridger, Maul, and the Ghost title, of course, paired up with that docked Zebarelios in the Phantom. And then, interestingly, we had a Wes Jansen with Flight Assist Astromech, Integrated Astromech, and Veteran Instincts. And that Wes Jansen kind of puts you in an interesting situation, right, with the Pilot Skill 10?
Right, so it forced me to be proactive with Captain M. I had the bid, so I did get to control initiative. But I had to take initiative. Otherwise, Captain Nim would never get off a harpoon missile because I'd take that target lock and then Wes would shoot me and I would lose that target lock.
Yeah, Wes Jansen's ability, of course, allows you, after Wes performs an attack, you can remove a focus token, an evade token, or a blue target lock token from the defender.
Yeah, but without any way to protect Wes, I was able to bring him down pretty quickly. But then that ghost was quite powerful.
It is really interesting to see these flight assist astromechs start to crop up all over the place. I think they're becoming a pretty popular choice. We're starting to see them on a lot of Sheath Apeed Fen Rao's to give them that extra repositioning so they can use their coordinate action. I think there was also, I think it was at the Arizona Regional that did pretty well, a 4 Y-Wing list with flight assist astromech, twin laser turret, and the BTL-A4 title.
Yeah, flight assist astromech is pretty great. It's good on T-65s, and I think it's even better on T-70s who already have one repositioning action. Being able to barrel roll and boost with an X-Wing is really crazy, and it's something I'm definitely still wrapping my head around. But luckily, in this matchup against Maeve, those control elements I brought with Asajj's stress, thermal detonator stress, and those ion bombs, I was able to mitigate the value from Maul and Ezra.
So you took that game as well as your next two games there, ending up with a record of 5-1, which puts you in third place after the end of the Swiss.
Yeah, so I felt pretty good going into the cut. I'd, you know, taken an early loss in round three, but then was able to dig out a series of wins. You did need to go basically 5-1 to make the cut. We had one 4-2 slip in, but you can't really count on MOV if only one 4-2 is making the cut. But then going into my top eight match, I get paired against Scott Heffler again. So my one Swiss loss, I have to play again for the top eight cut.
And of course, he knows all your secrets at this point, so he's going to be able to leverage those against you, right?
Yeah, and you would think I would have learned some lessons in our earlier game, but it went even worse in the top eight cut. And here I actually want to talk about how Miranda Donnie, using that bomblet generator, combines pretty great with Rebel Captain Nim's pilot ability to hold those bomblets. So for my initial approach, I tried to flank with Asajj to put some pressure on his ships to avoid those bombs and try and get them to turn on Asajj. But you can't really follow that Miranda because she'll just lay a path of bomblet tokens and he'll just take, you know, somewhere between 1 and 3 damage every turn off the bat, and then perhaps some twin laser turret shots on top of that. So that didn't work out. So I kind of disengaged and try and find another approach. But unfortunately, my second stand, Nim got double harpooned, and then there wasn't much left on Asajj to close out the game.
And thus ended your chances of becoming the Salt Lake City regional champion. But it was a really strong performance over there. I'm really proud of you, Carson. Third after Swiss, that's real good.
Yeah, it
was
good.
You didn't even have a Miranda Donnie there.
No, just a Asajj, who's totally fair and not a turret. yeah, and so just one other point on that game. The long-range scanners really came into effect. Scott was able to get off that double harpoon missile attack there that he wouldn't have got off on my Nim if he didn't have long-range scanners. And if you're trying to tech for the mirror and you can't quite afford the bid, a long-range scanner is going to make those harpoon attacks really powerful. The best harpoon missiles are the ones you get to fire.
Yeah, and actually a definite shout-out to Scott for making it to the top four. You said this was his first regional, so that's a really impressive performance there. Good job, Scott.
Yeah, and I had a lot of practice against that list, but he flew it really well and beat me both times. So congratulations, Scott.
Scott did end up losing to the second-place finisher, Kyle Maydell. Kyle was flying a Poe Dameron, Jess Pava, and Lowrick build there. Jess had flight assist astromech. Poe Dameron had advanced optics and a lot of the classic Poe Dameron stuff, R2-D2, Black 1, auto thrusters, veteran instincts. And then, of course, Lowrick there withdraw their Fire and Wookiee commandos to add some extra defense and a little bit of offense.
Yeah, and this was an amazing game. I mean, with those bombs and missiles, a lot of damage was dealt out early. But Kyle's list hits back pretty hard. Jess Pava's getting those rerolls. I mean, Poe Dameron has got actually pretty decent output on that advanced optics Poe build.
Well, especially when it's taking on things like Captain Nim and Miranda Donnie with really low agility values. If Poe can survive the initial onslaught of launched bombs and missiles, you have a pretty good chance of pushing damage out consistently with Poe, especially now that you have advanced optics there. You've got your focus already loaded up, and you can start taking target lock actions.
Yeah, and once they committed to an exchange, ships started dropping pretty fast. Lowrick went down, then Nim went down, and then Poe went down pretty quickly thereafter. And it came down to just a damage Jespava versus damage Miranda. Miranda got Pilot Skill 0 crit, which is, that's helpful, but she still has a regenerating turreted platform with Bomblet Generator and Sabine. And Scott, you know, went for a cluster mine to try and finish off Jess. Only got one of the mines to detonate, but that still brought Jess down to one hole. And, you know, one hole ship against a twin laser turret platform, any attack could be lethal.
Or even just a single bomb detonating, Sabine guarantees that damage.
Absolutely. And there was a moment where Jespava landed on a bomblet at the end of her maneuver. I thought there was no way she was going to escape that. But Kyle very eloquently showed why Flight Assist Astromech is just so powerful. Didn't have Arc on Miranda, so took that barrel roll and then used the boost action from the T-70 to get out of the range of that bomb. And then was eventually able to bring Jess around and finish off Miranda, which was pretty impressive.
So unfortunately for Scott, that was the end of his road at regionals there, but it's a huge accomplishment to make it to top four at a regional. Got those templates now. Plus, it was his first regional, so that is really cool. Kyle moved on to play against the now regional champion, Jonathan Grasser. Jonathan was flying, not surprisingly, a Captain Nim Miranda Donnie build. And those two faced off. I don't believe they streamed the game, so he did not get to see the full event there. But you got some details, right, Carson?
Yeah, so Scott chose to try and focus on Miranda, which is pretty important. The regenerating platform at the end is just such a strong late-game closing ship that if you're not able to focus her down in the beginning of the game, you're probably going to lose that matchup. He had a moment where he brought Miranda down to one hit point, and at that point, his Poe was down to just three hole and flew over either a bomblet or cluster mine. And both the dice came up hits, plus Sabine finished off Poe, so he wasn't able to close Miranda out. And then so she was able to survive and finish off the rest of his ships.
Yes, Jonathan did end up taking this game. A rough go for Kyle, but hey, making it to the final table at a regional is a pretty big accomplishment too. So congratulations to Kyle, and a huge congratulations to Jonathan Grasser for winning the event.
Yeah, and Jonathan had to play a mirror match in his top eight. Those Miranda versus Nim mirrors are pretty tough. Yeah, just looking generally at the cut, there were four Miranda and Nim lists in the cut, all pretty similar. And then there were three other Rebel regen lists. There was a Poe Dash, Poe Jess Lowric, and a Nora Lowric Jess. And then, of course, me being the lone scum player, but the fifth Captain Nim player in the cut. So there's a lot of Rebel regen, a lot of bombs, and then some extra defenses against Harpoon missiles, which I would say were definitely the most popular card out in force at that regional.
So the Salt Lake City Regional was just one of many regional championships that have been taking place all across the country and all across the world right now. And it actually lined up fairly well with a lot of the trends we've been seeing in these other regionals across the country.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the most important upgrade card is those Harpoon missiles. They're just so prevalent in the Swiss rounds. So many different ships can carry those. Anyone with a missile slot becomes a pretty potent ship with a Harpoon missile. I had to face a bunch of Z-95s with Harpoon missiles, and that was terrifying.
Yeah, I think at this point, Harpoon missiles pretty well solidified itself. It's probably the best missile value you're going to get.
Yeah, by a long shot. That's why it's showing up all over the place. And then, most important pilot is Captain Nim right now, showing up with Miranda Donnie as a co-pilot in so many of those cuts.
Yeah, I was digging around on List Juggler, looking at lists from a lot of these events, and obviously Salt Lake City had four Miranda Nim lists in its top eight, including the winner being a Miranda Nim list. In the Alberta-Canada regional, we saw a Nim Miranda list take it. In Toronto, we saw three of the top eight lists feature Nim Miranda. Five of the top eight lists had Captain Nims in them. And then in Glendale, Arizona, that regional was won by a Nim Miranda as well, with half of the top four cut being Nim Miranda lists. I even saw one in Cardiff, Wales, across the sea there, that had all four of the top four players flying Nim Miranda, and I think that was like a 130-person tournament.
Yeah, and so I think we should just kind of walk through a bit of why this squad is just so successful. These tournament results are looking very similar to that initial release of Contracted Scouts, where they're just dominating the cuts.
Yeah, you brought this up, Carson. I actually thought this was a really good point. Way back when, around the time of when the Contracted Scouts launched, would have been around the first Hoth system open, those lists could put out a lot of damage. Before we saw a bunch of nerfs to all the different separate components that made them so efficient, routinely three Contracted Scouts with some sort of combination of torpedo loadouts on them could very consistently fire torpedoes with Deadeye, generating hits that had three, often four, hit results. And if you've got three of those ships shooting torpedoes, that's going to mean a max of 12 damage, which is a really high damage threshold for the first engagement.
Yeah, and so Nimrand are able to put out kind of the same initial damage potential as those three scouts, where starting off with a launched, say, thermal detonator from Captain Nim, assuming that hits your targeted ship, which it really isn't that hard to do when you have Genius and Launch, that's going to deal one damage plus that extra damage from Sabine, so we're starting off with two damage, and you've dealt out a stress token, get a little free control in there, and then Captain Nim is hopefully able to launch off a harpoon missile, and, you know, you have long-range scanners and probably a focus token, or you have just a target lock and guidance chips, and that's pretty good. You still get to keep that target lock plus the guidance chips, which is not quite as efficient as those initial agromech Contracted Scouts with Deadeye and guidance chips. But then you get to follow up with a five dice harpoon missile from Miranda Donny. So you have those four hits from Captain Nim, which also deal out that harpoon condition if it hits. And then Miranda Donny follows up with her five dice attack, which five dice, you have a pretty good chance of triggering the harpoon condition that Nim applied.
Yeah, it seems pretty likely that there's going to be a crit in those attack dice, so you're likely going to deal that extra damage thanks to triggering the harpoon condition.
Which brings us up from two from the bomb, four from Nim's missile, five from Miranda's missile, and then one more from that harpoon condition, going up to 12 total damage on that first attack. Now, there's a lot more variability in there.
You might not trigger the harpoon condition. Your attack dice might not be completely efficient if you've only got a target lock and guidance chips and no focus token.
But there's some pretty strong advantages over what those scouts are presenting. You're dealing, some of that is direct damage, whether it's that harpoon condition dealing the face down damage cards or the direct damage from the bombs. You also have some splash damage in there, either the harpoon condition or the bombs. Those can hit multiple ships. Then you get the control effects of either a thermal detonator stress token, or if you need some ion bombs, that's an option list can include. And then you also just followed up with having two good ships after that. If either of those ships live the return fire from your opponent's list, you're in a pretty good spot to close out because you just did a ton of damage and they probably don't have that much left.
Well, of course, you've got Miranda Donny's ability to regenerate, too. Both of these ships have twin laser turrets, so if they need to bail out and run away, they're still going to be able to consistently put damage out. The other thing is that pilot skill. That's super valuable there compared to, say, a Contracted Scout. So if your upper damage threshold with Nim and Miranda is about 12 hits maximum, even if you trend a little bit lower thanks to your missile's variability and get down to the 9-10 range, that's still enough to take a lot of ships off the board. And since you're firing at higher pilot skills like Pilot Skill 10 and Pilot Skill 8, you can easily take a lower pilot skill ship off the board before they have an opportunity to shoot back.
Yes, it's really strong. And you can either load out Miranda with more damaging bombs or throw in, say, a Connor net to get even more control. You know, follow up, lock them down with either launching an ion bomb or thermal detonator, and then follow up with, you know, using that experimental interface maneuver to kind of guarantee another bomb on top of that.
Yeah, it is interesting to see the different ways people load out these Miranda Nim lists. Obviously, bombs are a huge part of it, but people are working to get those point bids lower so they have an advantage against other mirror matchups against Nim and Mirandas. And we've also seen a lot of variability with the bomb loadouts. So, Carson, what would you say your preferred bomb loadouts are for Nim and for Miranda?
So, initially, I thought, let's just get four thermal detonators on Captain Nim. I don't like Bomblet on Nim just because you want to be using the Genius, which means you don't get that much value out of having Bomblet equipped there. And Captain Nim doesn't usually survive that long to get the full value out of Bomblet Generator. So I like using the limited use bombs, and I think Thermal Detonator is your best value. You get control and damage, but I do really like the effect of Ion Bombs. I mean, but some players have been experimenting with proton bombs. That's a lot of damage, dealing some face-up cards under shields to start off the attack.
Well, and what I like about proton bomb option or the ion bomb option is they're really good against large base ships there, particularly when you're launching them with Captain Nim, where you can really screw up your opponent if they're flying something like a Shadowcaster, where getting that double ion token from the ion bomb is really going to mess them up going forward, especially if they also get stressed from a different effect. The proton bomb is really interesting. It seems pretty good against large base ships, but there's a lot of volatility there. Obviously, dealing a face-up damage directly to hull going underneath those shields is important, but the relevance of that crit could vary pretty wildly there, where something like they can't set straight maneuvers might not be that devastating, but you might also pull something like their hard turns become red.
Right. I mean, and then, of course, there's also just seismic charge. My preferred loadout there is the split between thermal detonators and ions, just to maximize control and have kind of a toolbox answer for whatever your opponent brings to the table. And then probably following up with Miranda having that bomblet, and then either a Connernet or a Cluster Mine for just some extra bomb damage to close out games.
Well, it's nice to have the option too between both your reveal dial bombs and an action drop bomb.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone's just worried about where that launch bomb is going to go. People can often forget about Miranda dropping a bomb after she moves.
So I guess the next question here is, if you're not jumping on the Miranda Donnie Captain Nim list and you don't really want to fly that one, you're trying to figure out how to beat it, let's talk about possible lists you can fly against that, good ship combos and ship builds that help counter against these harpoon missiles and heavy bomb loadouts.
Well, one of the ways is to just lean into those harpoon missiles and kind of try and out alpha this list. So you're probably going to want higher pilot skill than Captain Nim, or at least higher than Miranda, so that you can get all of your attacks off before they get to fire both of those harpoon missiles.
Yeah, we do have some good options now, especially in Imperials, where you can get those really high pilot skill 11 ships, like Quick Draw with Veteran Instincts, Darth Vader with Veteran Instincts, able to get those Alpha Strike missiles in and potentially wipe a Miranda Donnie off the board or even a Captain Nim off the board before they get a chance to shoot.
Right, and the Imperials also do have access to the Alpha Class Starwing, which is a really great harpoon missile carrier. And that thing comes cheap enough that it's not the end of the world if Miranda and Nim Alpha one of those off the table. But you just have to make sure you fly those Starwings in a way that you're able to catch arc on Captain Nim and Miranda Donnie, which, in my opinion, is not a trivial feat.
Yeah, I think one build that's popping up and is pretty common here is three of the pilot skill 2 new squadron pilots with harpoon missiles and long-range scanners. Those come in at just 22 points each, so very cheap, very affordable, even if you lose one. And these pair up well with another ship there, like a Quick Draw with Veteran Instincts, Fire Control System, Spec Ops Training, and the Lightweight Frame. The other route you can take to counter out these Miranda Nim lists is to try and disrupt their ability to use those harpoon missiles. That's where a lot of the early damage output comes, in that initial engagement. And any way you can shed target locks to prevent them from using those missiles is very valuable.
Yeah, so, I mean, I chose to take countermeasures on my list. That's a great strategy. A lot of large base ships you want to put countermeasures on, whether it's Dash, Saj, Ghost, Ray. Those can definitely help slow the damage output on that initial turn. I mean, a lot of those ships are turreted, which allows you to consistently deal out damage while trying to avoid their bombs. Another great option is looking at regenerating ships like Poe Dameron or Nora Wexley with the R2-D2 crew, where if you take some damage from bombs, you can kind of disengage and get those shields back before coming in for another round.
Yeah, Poe's actually a really good choice here, thanks to his access to the Black One title. Black One, of course, after you perform a booster barrel roll action, you're able to drop a red target lock that's on a friendly ship at range one, which could include Poe or could include another ship. I like a 43-point advanced optics Poe right now. Poe Dameron with the Black One title, R2-D2, auto thrusters, veteran instincts to get up to pilot skill 11, and then advanced optics gives you some action efficiency there. This seems like a really good choice, being able to not only shed Poe's target locks with the Black One title, but also being able to shed friendly ship's target locks gives you a lot of control there. And since Poe is operating at pilot skill 11, you're going to be moving and doing all these abilities after Captain Nim and Miranda Donnie have already taken their target locks. So you get a lot of control there and can mitigate a lot of the effectiveness of the Nim-Miranda lists.
Right, and so then there's kind of two ways to finish off your list with Poe that have seemed to be pretty effective. You can either pair him with a large turret, either Dash or Ray, with those countermeasures to make them not so susceptible to the missiles as well. And those turrets do put pretty good pressure on both Miranda and Nim. Or you can pair Poe up with ships like Lorik or Fen Rao in the Sheathipede that do a pretty good job at disrupting your opponent's harpoons, making Poe a pretty undesirable target where he's already got pretty good defensive mods, and that disruption can be enough to keep him around.
Yeah, I think the key there is making sure Poe still survives that first volley. He can only shed one of those target locks, so he might still take one of the missiles. And plus, if he gets a bomb launched at him, those are still pretty tough to avoid, though he has a little bit of recourse there thanks to his boost action. It's no surprise, though, Miranda, Donnie, Captain Nim lists are popular, but as we saw even at the Salt Lake Regional, Poe Dameron's still a strong choice there. Second place finisher Kyle was using Poe with Jess and Lorik, which is one build there. And then top four finisher Jerry Russell was running Dash and Poe. So a couple different ways to run that same 43-point Poe.
Yeah, if you guys have any other great strategies against Miranda and Nim, be sure to let us know on either Facebook or Twitter. Help us out.
Yeah, it seems like Miranda, Donnie, Captain Nim lists are something we're going to have to deal with for this foreseeable future. All right, guys, before we close out the show here, we just want to throw a quick call for questions here. We're coming up on episode 100 of our podcast. We're pretty excited about it. It seems like not that long ago we were just getting this show started, so it's been a really cool ride.
Yeah, so we thought a fun way to celebrate episode 100 was to let you, the listeners, decide what we talk about, answer your questions. This will be an episode just for you guys. So send us your questions on Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, and we'll be sure to answer them.
Yeah, we're going to have some dedicated posts up on all those platforms there so you can get our questions any way you see fit. You could also email them to us at radiotcx@gmail.com. Just be sure to put episode 100 question in the subject line there so we can spot it right away. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radiotcx and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast. I put some good updates from the regional on there, and so if you want to follow us on other regionals, be sure to follow us on Twitter there.
If you really enjoy the show, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why other people might be interested in listening.
This week, we're going to give a shout out to Shark001, who left a review saying that they enjoyed that the show always stayed under an hour and provided clear, high-quality audio. Thank you, Shark.
And a huge thank you to everyone else who's left us a review on iTunes. Those really do mean a lot and really help us grow the show.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today.
We've got the Minnesota Regional Championship coming up here in just the next couple weeks, January 27th. We are currently planning on live streaming that event, so stay tuned to our social media pages for updates. Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
I want to give a shout out to my brother, Kyle Ray, for going to his first tournament.
Shout out, Kyle. So proud of you.
Love you, bro.